Hello, radio friends. Welcome to a Back to the Bible radio broadcast, an outreach ministry of the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. My name is Pastor Philip Youngblood, and we want to thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that the broadcast is a blessing to you as you listen.
The man of God took his place behind the sacred desk, opened his King James Bible, looked at the church and said, I don't have anything new to preach here today. The Lord has given me the same message I received when I was saved. 'Cause it takes the same old message to save lost sinners. Christ crucified to death, risen and living forevermore. The blood he shed on Calvary's cross still saves to the uttermost. Still takes the same old message. Said I've been preaching God's word over half of my life. It's never once wavered in power or flickered in its light. I've witnessed many souls birthed by its proclaim. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God will remain. 'Cause it takes the same old message to save lost sinners. Christ crucified to death, risen and living forevermore. The blood he shed on Calvary's cross still saves to the uttermost. Still takes the same old message. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most
at the four miracles of Calvary. And we've looked so far at the darkness in the day. We looked last week at the dividing of the veil. And tonight we're going to focus our attention on the disturbance of the earthquake. Now, I believe this tonight. I believe that God the whole time was trying to get the attention of the people, and he wanted their full attention. Amen. And then the last one that's there, the miracle that we're going to see when we're reading the scripture is the disinterment of from the graves. That's talking about those that were raised from the dead, you know, after the resurrection of Christ. Right, if you have your Bible, once again, let's look over there and let's take our Bibles and go to Matthew chapter number 27. And I'm going to start reading at verse number 45. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Notice what verse number 51 says. Everything changes from here on out. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. This is what we're going to deal with tonight. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Look at verse number 53. And came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. When the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. Now I will say tonight that I believe this. I believe that God got their undivided attention at Calvary. I'd like to begin tonight asking this question, why an earthquake? I mean, what's the big deal about an earthquake? What was intended by the use of an earthquake? Well, we've already had the darkness, and we've seen that man did not control the light, amen, that it was controlled by God. And so it was not something that they could turn on, and it was not something that they could turn off like electricity. Amen. We're talking about this darkness was speaking about that of the heavens. Amen. This was not something that man could do. But then we're told another great feat was the fact that the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. We dealt with that last week. And after last week's message, I believe it was Brother Eddie came and he said, do you know, preacher, that our commentary within our Bible says that it took 300 men to pick that veil up and put it up there on those touches and on those loops. I said, I had no idea. 300 men. Can you imagine the scale, the magnitude? I'm talking about how heavy this piece of this veil must have been, amen. They said that it was the thickness of a man's hand. Think about that. I'm talking about when you go to tear something, have you ever tried to tear a phone book in half? Some of you men think you're strong, amen. Take your phone book, see if you can rip it right in half, amen. There was somebody that did that one time, and I don't know if they ripped a corner or not, but can you imagine trying to rip that veil from top to bottom? Amen. That's an impossibility when it comes to humanity. However, with God, all things are possible. And God was trying to show us that there's a new way. So tonight, why the earthquake? What's the big deal about the earthquake? Why send the miracle of the earthquake? I mean, he's already sent the darkness, already sent the veil. If he's trying to show everybody that Jesus is God in the flesh, it looks like that would have been enough, right? But then he sends an earthquake. So let's look and investigate it for just a moment. I want you to see tonight that I believe there's some insight that we need to learn. First of all, I want you to see the timing of this earthquake. Once again, in reading the text, it's hard to determine. As you read through the text tonight, it's hard to determine whether the earthquake happens during the last statement of Christ on the cross when he gave up the ghost or if it was afterwards. So let's look back at the text one more time. Look at verse number 50. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. So we need to stop right here for just a moment, and we need to think about the death of the cross. I want to remind you tonight that Christ's death was not something that had ever happened before, nor would ever happen again. Christ's death was not an accident, but it was a fulfillment of God's divine plan. Christ's death was not a result of human torture, but it was a result of Christ laying his life down for the sheep, amen. That's why Jesus died, amen. Now I want to tell you tonight, one writer said it this way, the death of the king shook the earth and the rocks rent. So when understanding the timing of this earthquake, one could say this, that it was like the crescendo that reached maximum strength within a song. Well, you see a song, it'll start out maybe slow, but there's a climax and there's a point, amen, where the crescendo hits maximum top of the mountain. But the earthquake was not controlled by man. The earthquake was not a figure of man's imagination either, because it was felt by humanity. I want to say tonight that the death of the Savior, however, was the result of man's sin. You can say it this way, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, everything within creation took a nosedive, amen, and realized that their Creator was now dead, amen. And boy, I tell you, I think it's evident when we're looking at the earthquake. The Bible says this, the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Now these rocks were not made by man. It did not say bricks, it said rocks, amen. These rocks were created. They were created by the Master, where they were created by a creator. I'm talking about the God of heaven, amen. God laid the foundation. God spoke them into existence, amen. All of those things. God knows how many molecules. God knows how many atoms. God knows how many, I mean, he knows it all when it comes to that of structure. But I want you to know this, that creator died. He died on Calvary's Hill. You say, preacher, what are you saying tonight? I'm trying to tell you, whenever the creator died, the world falls apart, friend. Amen. All of those things that he has created, those things begin to deteriorate. Those things begin to fall apart because he's what's keeping it all together. You take God out of the equation. Somebody said, well, preacher, you know, we don't need the Bible in our schools, and we don't need the Bible in our nation. We don't need the Bible been leading us here and there. Look at what's going on in our world today, amen. You say it's progressively getting better, or you say it's progressively getting worse? I say it's progressively getting worse day in and day out because of the lack of God in our country. Now also see tonight this, I'm reminded of what Jesus said to the Pharisees in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 37. And when he was come nigh, even now to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And they answered and said, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. He's saying this. He said, for me to stop them, for me to hold their peace, me as creator, the rocks are going to start screaming out. He said, look, man, that's why you were created, was to praise the Lord. That's why you are placed here tonight, amen. You and I have the ability to cry out. You and I have the ability to praise the Lord with our mouth, amen. How many times have we been silent? How many times have we not given him the praise that we ought to give him? How many times have we grumbled before him? And all the things that God has blessed us with. We are a murmuring people, amen. And we need to praise him tonight. We've looked at the timing. I'm telling you, right there, right after Jesus gave up the ghost, the Bible said the rocks did rent, the earthquake. We've looked at the timing of the earthquake, but let's look now for just a moment at the magnitude of this earthquake. The Bible says that the earth did quake and the rocks rent. The rending of the rocks tells us that this earthquake was a big one. You say, how do you figure, preacher? Well, they didn't have a Richter scale back in those days. And so to measure the earthquake, but I will tell you this, if they had, this one would have ran off the scale. It would have went off the chart of great and intense power. One of the largest earthquakes that there ever has been recorded in human history was recorded on May the 22nd of 1960. It was found in Chile. It estimated that the magnitude of the earthquake was somewhere around the 9.5 range on the Richter scale. The earthquake was followed by the pounding tsunamis with waves reaching 82 feet in height, and some had estimated. A few days later, not too long after that, there was a volcanic eruption that took place. Even after the earthquake took place after the tsunamis, and then the volcanic eruption took place right not too long after that. Because this earthquake was so devastating in 1960 that it caused massive casualties of things that took place. They could not even record how many people had died from the earth.
Thank you for tuning in to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We would like to invite you to come out and be a part of our church. We are located at 71 Hoopers Creek Church Road. That's in Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. If you'd like to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1856, Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. Also, check us out on the World Wide Web at hooperscreekbaptist.com or download our church app where you can get the verse of the day and enjoy some great preaching and singing from our choir. Have a great day. Tune in tomorrow for another Back to the Bible radio broadcast.